The administration is ready, and this can be seen in expression as from the very time that former President Mandela passed on, with the necessary announcements that were made by President Jacob Zuma in informing not only South Africa of what has happened, but also in ensuring that there's a declaration of a state funeral. Therefore, a declaration of a state funeral then gives the administration an opportunity to really put into place all the systems that are expected when there is a state funeral. Of course, this is our first, as it is known, but we are very ready for it because the systems are there, which has made it possible because in the South African context, we have our institutions all in place. So whenever we have things of this nature, we have special institutions that have the capacity to deal with such issues. So we are ready for the funeral. As it is known, there's been a declaration of 10 days of mourning, and therefore there is a plan for all that. The plan is now moving, is in motion, and we are satisfied at the moment. Also because we are working very closely, administration is working very closely with the family of former President Nelson Mandela, obviously, because we have had to respect that, the fact that he belonged to a family, even though he was a statesman. And so it's all running very well so far. We already have some indications of some of the guests that are going to be here, international guests. Even that is moving on smoothly so far.
I know you said institutions have ensured that the planning is executed to perfection. How about security? You have all these heads of states coming, and you have all these South Africans and people around the world who would want to visit and bid farewell to Madiba.
Fortunately for us, the world can testify to our capacity to hosting such events. We've hosted so many other international events, very big ones, way sometimes bigger than this. And so we are ready. We hosted the World Cup, and the world knows how well we hosted that. So as I said earlier, we've got systems in place, and therefore those systems, immediately something happens, they are able to kick in. And also the fact that what is important really here is the understanding of the fact that we have the functioning institutions in South Africa. That really makes life a bit easy for us, because these institutions do not need to be set up ad hoc. These institutions are there. Now, if you talk about the issue of security, we have institutions that have an experience already in running huge events in South Africa. And so far, we have never had a major hiccup on this. And we are hoping that even with this one, and I think this one is even much more important for us because we have the world backing us. We have South Africans in each and every corner really looking forward to ensuring that the send-off of Mandela is as smooth as it possibly can. So from that point of view, I am sure that we're doing the best that we can. So far, we haven't had any hiccup that one can report of. You know, so I'm sure that those institutions that are related to ensuring that the security, and in any case, those security institutions have to work with those visitors, I mean, the heads of state who are coming in. And because we have done that before, I'm sure that it will be smooth, because we don't do that on our own. All heads of state who come to the country, we've got standard security measures, but many of them obviously also come with their own demands, and therefore we need to make sure that we meet those demands.
Looking at the Southern Africa region, obviously there were countries that supported the struggle for the liberation of your country. How is the coordination to bid the farewell to Madiba?
It's all standard for all heads of state, because we are no longer separating there that, you know, they are these ones who assisted us during the liberation struggle. It's all heads of state who have expressed that they will be coming to send him off. But of course, the neighboring countries are even a little bit easier for us because they are next door neighbors, you know, so it's easier for us to deal with them than others who are coming from afar. And so far, we know, as a matter of fact, that many of them have expressed that they will and need to come and be part of this mourning period, which, by the way, for us in South Africa, is beyond just mourning, because Mandela is not a person just to be mourned. he's also a person to be celebrated because we believe that it was a life well lived. There is no corner of the African continent which he hasn't touched. I can't talk about the fact that there's no corner in the South African life that he never touched.
What is your message to Africa and the world at large who are coming in droves and those who are witnessing from outside the bidding of farewell to Nelson Mandela?
Firstly is the fact that Nelson Mandela was the founding father of our democracy, that we need to say, and also because our democracy itself, we didn't get it just that easy. You know, there was a struggle and he was a leader of that struggle. And the fact that he spent 27 years in prison, he always was an icon for us because he was an exemplary person that we always looked up to. Secondly, it is because he dedicated his service to the people of South Africa, not only to South Africa, but Africa as a whole. And we believe that the world too. Hence, it is, you see what is happening. The whole world is mourning with us, but at the same time, the whole world is celebrating with us. But also, he's a product of history himself. He was shaped by the African National Congress. He led that organization before he went to prison. And when he came out of prison, he continued to lead this organization. And in his leadership, it was more than just leading in South Africa. Also, his leadership resonated very well to the African continent as a whole. So the message that we send at this point in time is that he left an indelible mark on humanity, and ours is now to pick up that baton and continue where he left, because we are sure that he would rest in peace, particularly because he knew that he left a leadership that was also capable. And may I also add the fact that he is one of the leaders who truly believe in collective leadership. We hope that we'll be able to carry that on and make sure that we collectively take the South Africa forward, united as South Africans, because that's what he also stood for. He is one of the main leaders that taught us humility. He's a leader that taught us to reconcile. I mean, the whole issue of reconciliation in South Africa was led by himself. And if I may say that some of us at the time that he came out of prison, we were in the camps in Angola. In Angola, we had already left. In Uganda, in Tanzania, and in Zambia, for instance. And the first thing that happened was while we were there, when he came out of prison, he came to address us in these camps. And the message he carried to us at the time, young and angry as we were, ready to come back home and fight the system, he reminded us that the African National Congress had taken a decision that we were going to attain our independence through negotiations, because the negotiations had already started as way back in 1987. So for some of us who were young and in the camps at the time, angry as we were, we said to ourselves, if he could spend 27 years in prison and come out with the kind of message that he came out with, who were we then to argue that? Instead, we joined his call together with the leadership of the ANC. Hence, we have this democratic, non-racial and non-sexist South Africa. We have not reached that stage yet. There's still a lot of work that we need to do to make sure that his dream of a non-racial, non-sexist and a democratic South Africa will grow, and each and every citizen of South Africa will benefit from the democracy that we talk about.